Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift to the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Post-baptismal mystagogy, which is the Easter season, the Church begins by having us focus on the consequence of baptism. Tomorrow, the Church is going to shift gears in the Gospel and have us begin to focus on the reality of the Eucharist in the baptized Christian's life. But today is the end of this discourse that Jesus has with Nicodemus. Whether the words that we hear in today's Gospel were spoken by Jesus or were St. John's interpretation of the deeper meaning of Jesus. And we don't know, because in the earliest manuscripts there were no quotation marks. And so there's legitimate confusion either way, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Today, we see illustrated what we heard on Easter Sunday morning when St. Paul in the epistle said to us, as he said to the Colossians, if you have been raised in Christ, and that's what happens to us in baptism, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Today, in the Gospel, we see this contrast between the one who comes from above, being above all, who doesn't ration the gift of the Spirit, but who speaks with the words of God, and the one who is earthly and speaks of earthly things. Jesus has come into our world to lift us up, to raise us from thinking about things in earthly ways, to think not as men do, but as God does. That's the work of baptism, and the Holy Spirit has been sent precisely so that we might seek the things that are above. St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, as well as his letter to the Romans, will contrast life according to the Spirit with life according to the flesh. And he says very clearly, the one who lives according to the Spirit seeks the things of the Spirit, seeks the things that are above. At the end of today's passage, speaking about Jesus, it says, he does not ration the gift of the Spirit. He doesn't limit it. He doesn't allow only a part of the Holy Spirit's work to be accomplished, but he fully cooperates with the Holy Spirit. That is the model of the baptized Christian. Living according to the Spirit, we don't quench the Spirit, we don't ration the Spirit, but we give the Spirit full rein. At the beginning of this passage with Nicodemus, we remember what Jesus was saying to him, that we must be born again from above. We must be born by the Holy Spirit, who blows where he wills. We know not whence he comes or whither he goes. That's what happens in the life of someone who lives according to baptism. The person lives a pneumatological life, a life with the inbreathing of the Holy Spirit that changes the way one thinks, that changes the way one talks, that changes the way that one lives, always seeking and receiving help from what is above and not looking downward. It was funny, yesterday the Archbishop was on my case because apparently in the chapel at the residence. There is a cross that antedated the Nazi symbol, but it looks like a Nazi swastika on the floor of the chapel that brings a lot of people to notice and ask questions about whether the deputy, for example, in all of these accusations of church anti-Semitism might be true. And I've given, I don't know, 30, 40 tours of that chapel, and I have never once noticed it. Normally when I give tours, I notice everything. And he said, how could you not notice that? And I said, to be honest, I don't look down, I look up. And literally in that chapel, which was built by the former mayor of New York in the late 1888 to 1892, Hugh Grant, they had built a chapel in their home, and it's got the words in Latin of the Veni Sancte Spiritus all the way around, and up on the ceiling, you've got this beautiful image of the descent of the Holy Spirit, truly beautiful, coming on down. Said, when I go into your chapel, I'm just constantly looking up toward the Spirit. I have never looked down. I have never once noticed what was on the marble floor there. Just one little, we've got the woman with the curvature for 18 years constantly looking down, and when Jesus cured her, she was able to look up. That's what's supposed to happen in a Christian life. We look up to where the Holy Spirit not only comes down, but seeks to elevate us. In today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we see what happens when someone does not ration the Spirit and what the Spirit's work is. The apostles were arrested and they were brought in before the Sanhedrin. Whenever we see that, we need to think these people conspired to execute Jesus in the most brutal way. So they meant business. This wasn't just a small little oral exam. This was a trial, basically, before those who already made good on executing Jesus. We gave you strict orders, didn't we, to stop teaching in that name? Yet, what a beautiful thing of the early church, this phrase. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. They had asked interrogatively before whether it was right to obey God rather than you. You be the judges. Of course, it's always right to obey God. But today they state it emphatically. We must obey God rather than men, which is something upon which each Christian heart in a time of diminished respect for religious freedom needs to have inscribed on his mind and on his heart. But they had filled Jerusalem with Jesus' teaching because they were obeying God in the flesh, who said, go to the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature, starting with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And they were in fact already carrying it out fast, filling Jerusalem with Jesus' teaching. At the very end of Peter's reply to the Sanhedrin, he says, we are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. They were eyewitnesses of these things. They couldn't stop speaking about what they have seen and heard. But at the same time, something really powerful. The Holy Spirit is a witness of what happened to Jesus. And anybody who is filled with the Holy Spirit, anyone who doesn't ration or grieve the Holy Spirit, becomes united with the Holy Spirit, a witness of these things, precisely a witness of the fact that Jesus isn't a dead historical figure who happened to rise and then disappear. That Jesus is alive and present and with us always until the end of time. To be moved by the Spirit, seeking the things of the Spirit, having our mind set on the things that are above, not on the things of earth, leads us to have an overpowering sense of the fact that the risen Jesus is at our side, saving us, loving us, strengthening us, inspiring us, sending us forth, yoking ourselves to him. And our whole Christian life is a witness to this reality. That's the exclamation point in this baptismal mystagogy that the Church gives. We see exactly at the end of the Acts of the Apostles what the response was of the Sanhedrin. When they had heard this, they became infuriated and wanted to put them to death. Jesus had promised if they hated him, they would hate us. That if they dragged him but before synagogues and governors, they would do the same to us. But that when it would happen, we should remember that he told us this. Because the same one who told us that told us that we shouldn't worry about what we are to say. Because it is at that moment when the Holy Spirit, who is a witness to all of this, will teach us what to say. So that precisely we might not give the arguments that refute those who are bombarding us with a blitzkrieg of questions, but so that we can give witness to the risen reality of Jesus. And that's what we've seen in the life of so many martyrs at the very end, that they gave witness to the fact that they were unafraid of the threats because Jesus had risen from the dead, triumphing even over crucifixion. And if that happened, of what do we need to be afraid? Today we come forward obeying God, who told us not just to do this in his memory, but to go and proclaim his gospel to every creature. May we, filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit from above and not rationing in the least, fill Manhattan